Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
G'day and welcome to Better Than Yesterday. I'm Moshe Ginsburg. Thanks for being here. This is Better Make It Quick. It's the Wednesday edition of the show where we go back and have a bit of a listen to an episode from the past that, you know, you might have missed, and that's okay. But it's an episode that will definitely give you something that you need to make today better than yesterday, because that's what we do here at the show. Every single episode, all the way back to 2013, does just that, does what it says on the box. We have over 400 chats with people, Mondays and Wednesdays I'm with a guest, and Fridays I'm here with you. I'm Moshe Ginsburg. I'm a podcaster, TV host, author, dad, stepdad, studio rebuilder, currently someone who's drilling guitar stands into the wall behind me because I've rejigged my studio a bit. And right now I'm here to help you listen to an episode from, goodness, I think it's like 2015 or 2016. It's a fantastic conversation with Bernadette, Bernie Black. At the time, Bernie was the CEO of the Brave Foundation and the author of the book Brave Little Bear, the inspirational story of a teenage mother. Bernie fell pregnant when she was just a teenager. You'll hear that story today. She's since gone on to create the Brave Foundation. She's no longer the CEO. She's now the social economic empowerment ambassador and really working hard at a strategic and policy level for teens parenting and expecting parents who are teenagers. Because teenage pregnancy is a thing, you know, it's the thing of after school specials and movies. We don't talk about it because, you know, teenage pregnancy is a wild thing to speak about. Bernie's story will resonate with many people listening. In the longer version of this podcast, you'll hear me talk about what happened when I was in grade 12. And let's just say my girlfriend was late, not to a date. And that was an interesting final couple of weeks of school. But it might be confronting to listen to because I'm here to tell you, if they say 8 is too late to have the chat about online porn with your kids, just not speaking about sex or contraception or safe sex or options or anything like that, choices that you have, you know, and hoping that your kids will get it from around them, not going to work. Because teenagers have sex. I had sex as a teenager. It happens. It absolutely happens. And when we get into the numbers, it definitely does happen. Bernie has gone on to build an incredible life for her son that she was mother to as a teenager, but she has now got a much larger family. And she's risen to an incredible career for herself. She's a businesswoman. She's a speaker. She was the CEO and the founder of the Brave Foundation, as I said. Now she's working real hard on systemic change, policy change, as the social economic empowerment ambassador for the Brave Foundation. You'll hear how she's making a massive difference, not only with stigma reduction and support for teenage parents, but on a policy level. Now, you may be listening to this going, I don't have a teenager. I haven't got a teenager who's pregnant. Well, that's fine. You don't have to, but listening to the way Bernie and her family handled the challenge that she was faced with, there's lessons in that can help you do whatever you got to do today. And that's what this show is all about. She's an inspiring woman. I cannot thank her enough. She actually flew up from Tasmania to come and chat with me. And that's why the drill is in my hands, because I'm rejigging the studio because COVID basically stopped me doing face-to-face interviews. I used to do all my interviews face-to-face, and I'm rebuilding my studio here to hopefully have guests face-to-face again in the house. So I'm looking forward to that. She was great. If you want to find out more about what Bernie Black does, you can find out at bravefoundation.org.au. So we pick up my conversation with Bernie where pretty much we asked about, well, I asked about when did she first kind of have an idea about sex?
I remember Mum and Dad, I actually found some lubricant. I think I was in, you know, year seven in their ensuite, and I found it and I threw it on the ground and I said to Mum, how dare you and Dad ever do this? This is not okay. And she just said, you know, sweetie, it's a normal, beautiful thing. And I in my brain, it was like a shock to me. I did not think I knew at year seven that your parents still had sex. Like yeah. I thought, but it wasn't something that was talked about. Like right. You had the opportunity with your mum. It wasn't, we didn't talk about sex. It was not we went to a Catholic school, Catholic family. I think I was given a book at probably around about grade six, and it was so gross to me that I threw it on the ground and gave it back to my mum, said I never want to talk about it again, and we didn't talk about it.
Right.
So I had no preparation except for the little bit you might hear at a Catholic secondary school of the world of, yeah. you know, sex and boys and all of those things.
Yeah. Then as you're growing up and you're 15, you're 16, you're for all intents and purposes, your body is that of a woman.
Yep.
But you're still kind of a bit of a kid.
Yep.
Between the ears.
Yep.
Can you take us through?
Yeah.
can you take us through what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So I can remember, you know, and I was saying that I always wanted to do the right thing, but then there was this exciting part of life that was starting to take off, and it was an escape because home wasn't often a happy time at that time. It was an escape, and being around with these people that were interested in drinking and all of this stuff was just exactly where I wanted to be. And I remember there was a group of kids that didn't go to the same school as me, and so I was invited to a party, and I met a boy there that I sort of liked, and then anyway, 6 months down the track, he ended up becoming my first boyfriend. And I remembered at the time looking, there was a girl that had fallen pregnant. It would have been about a year before me. She was in year 11.
At your school?
At my school. Oh. And I remembered the comments and the things that people would say. And you know, at the time, I don't remember saying much about it. I've always been the type of person that it wouldn't matter what happened to you. You'd try and find a pathway through to something that would be good. Even in my, you know, most tricky times, I try to see the good. But hearing about this girl and just thinking, you know what, maybe her life is over, you know, and actually really thinking that, and that was the perception.
What did they, was it a kind of thing like, oh, she's going to leave school and we never see her
again? Yeah, very much, very much. And so then when I met my boyfriend and then we had sex and we did everything that we thought was the right thing. And
so you were contraception, yeah, everything?
Yeah, used contraception, condom broke, then that totally freaked me out because we'd only just become sexually active. So you're just like, oh my goodness, all those thoughts. If Mum and Dad found out, what have I, you know, done? That type of thing. But then I'd heard enough to know about the morning after pill from my friends. So then I went and got the morning after pill and really just thought to myself, my goodness, you know,
that was close,
you know, like, and that was a really scary experience. And it got to the point that I was I remember it being winter Russia and I hadn't got my period yet. And I remember saying to my mum, I don't know what's wrong with me, but my nipples won't stop stinging. And she was like, sweetie pie, it's pretty cold winter. So that's where she put it down to. And, you know, I know now that was their signs of pregnancy. And so then in desperation when I didn't get my period, my boyfriend and I literally rang up. It was the Yellow Pages. We went through doctors' clinics and pharmacists, and we took it in turns in ringing pharmacists and doctors' clinics and asking them, can your period run late if you have the morning after pill? And, you know, most of them said, yeah, don't worry about it too much. And we just wanted to hear, like you were saying with your hip, I just wanted to hear someone say, this isn't going to be your future. Like I what I thought it looked like with the other girl, I wasn't even prepared to think I could go there. I was starting to experience this freedom that I was only just starting to grasp and an escape, and here was another whole alternate universe that was going to possibly include a whole lot of responsibility. So my boyfriend and I decided that we told our parents that we were going to go to a friend's party at a restaurant down in not far from Watsonia in Melbourne, and at that place there was a 24-hour medical centre just around the corner, and so they dropped us off at the restaurant, they left, saw the car go, then we went to the 24-hour medical centre. And It was, oh man. Like, the first thing that the receptionist asked me for was for a Medicare card. And I was like, is that that green thing that my mum has in her purse? I didn't know what that was. And then she took me in to see the doctor, and that was the doctor that actually gave me. He was really rude, and he made me feel pretty awful and pretty ashamed. And he just threw some tablets and said, take these, that'll stop it, and take these, it'll stop you being sick. And that was the morning after pill that time.
So he gave it to you again?
That was the night it happened.
Okay.
But then when I didn't get my period, sorry, that was an earlier story, but then later on when I didn't get my period, I went to my boyfriend and I were working at Wendy's Ice Cream, so we both had the lovely pink Wendy's uniforms on, and I went to get a test and said to him, I need to go and grab a test, didn't know what else to do, didn't even really know what one looked like, and had to go to the bit that had all the condoms and the lubricants, and had to pick up the worst thing. And, you know, being in a suburban area, it's like a country town. Mum and Dad knew everyone there, and I just kept looking down thinking, what is everyone thinking about me as I pick this up? You know, obviously she sleeps around, you know, what a waste of a life, stuff like that. So I picked up the test, bought it, didn't look at the lady either, and chucked it into my surf bag, because that's all I wanted to do, was be a surf girl at the time, and went to the toilets, and Dave came with me, my boyfriend, and then I locked myself in a cubicle and, you know, did the test. I had no idea how to do it, and after 1 minute, one line showed, and that meant that it was working properly. And at that time, I actually said, Mum and Dad had taught us to say, if anything goes drastically wrong, say, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, help me. I think I said it 600 times within the space of, I don't know, 30 seconds. And then another very faint but real second blue line began to appear. And my first thought was about, you know, my boyfriend. I was trying to impress him, his mum's family, mum and dad, like, what were they going to think of me now? My next thought was about my nana. I truly didn't think she'd heard of the word sex, let alone that anyone ever had it. And the next one was about my dad. He'd worked two jobs for me, as a cleaner and as an insurance clerk, so that I wouldn't have perhaps the outcome that he'd had. And then I just put it in my bag, and then we went to work, and later that night
that
I went home.
What was that shift like? How did you get through that?
It was so heavy. It was like, you know, a teenager's brain, the frontal lobe isn't developed enough yet to make predecision-making ideas. I know that now. You don't know that when you're 16. But what it felt like was that something was that was happening that was so big to me that my brain couldn't even comprehend properly yet. And 1 minute I was looking at Dave and he's making, you know, a Winky Dink ice cream or whatever and handing them to some kid, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, he's going to be a father. And then I'm, you know, just thinking to myself, oh, how am I going to go home and tell mum and dad this news? It was very full on.
All right. So number one, that he didn't run straight away is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, he actually just put his hand on my head, I can remember, and just sort of ruffled my hair, and he just said, you know, Bernie, it's your body and it's your decision, and then we went to work. That was just how sort of pragmatic it was, and he was really lovely for a 16-year-old kid. This was a huge thing for him as well. We both didn't know how to comprehend this and didn't know anyone. There wasn't I asked if there were any books or pamphlets to show me that you could be okay, and there was nothing then, Osha. So it was a tough road at that point.
So how... What happened? How did you sleep that night? What happened?
Well, I got home and I ran straight into my bedroom, which was painted pink when I was 10, had all those surf posters up, and I shared it with my little sister, and I heard the familiar creaks, and Mum came in, and I knew I could tell my mum because she was, you know, and she is such a compassionate woman, and it would be more that I'd had sex than I was pregnant for mum and dad. And so I just told her, and she just said, sweetie pie, only the good girls get caught out. And I remember sort of sitting there thinking, that doesn't make any sense to me. But I think what she was meaning was, you don't know what you're doing, so that's why you've fallen pregnant. But it was her compassion that was... so grateful for what was about to come, because then she said, oh, Clive, that's my dad, Bernadette's got something to tell you. And Dad came into the bedroom, Osha, and he was, you know when something's up with your kids, he was like, but green grey with anger, and he did have bouts of verbal aggression. It wasn't physical, but, you know, he could get really angry. And I just thought, I can't tell my dad what I've done. So I just looked at the ground and I said, Dave and I had sex and now I'm pregnant. And then the next thing we heard, my bedroom door slam, the front door slam. We lived on a main road. He went into the middle of the main road and screamed to the whole of the suburb, my 16-year-old daughter's had sex and now I was pregnant. And we could hear it from inside. And it was the neighbours remembered it for a long time. Thankfully, once they knew more of the story down the track, they'd have a laugh about it. Yeah. And I'm happy that we can now. But at that time, that was pretty full on. And then he woke me up at 7 o'clock the next morning. My mum got very sick because of the shock. She couldn't walk for 6 weeks. We thought she had MS, but it was just the stress of my pregnancy.
My goodness.
And so Dad got me up the next morning and took myself and went. We went and picked up my boyfriend, Dave, and he took us to a 24-hour medical centre again to get the test again. And it was, he did not talk to me at all. It was pretty tough. He actually didn't talk to me until the end of my pregnancy. So Whoa. It was a very hard time.
Oh, I can only imagine, like, being Dave on the side of the road when the car pulls up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know,
that
right.
would have been so intense for you.
It was. Well, we were actually in the back of the car and my brother was there as well, and my mum, my dad drove, and my brother said, you know, it was silent. My brother said, what's the matter? Is Bernadette pregnant or something? And no one said anything. It's just like, oh, this is not a nice experience.
So what happened next? Well, we have to take a break, and when we're back, you'll hear more of what happened with Bernie Black after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thank you so much for listening. This is Better Make It Quick. We are chatting with Bernie Black today, the founding CEO of the Brave Foundation, now the Social Economic Empowerment Ambassador for the Brave Foundation, which helps teens who are parenting and expecting to be parenting. Yes, that's that. That's grammatically correct. So I wanted to know, we all have an idea about what it is to be a teenage mother or teenage father. There's plenty of trash reality TV shows about it. So what does the research say? I asked Bernie, what is the overall misconception about teenage parenting?
Yeah, so we actually did a survey on this, and it was the Australia Tell Us Your Views campaign for Brave Foundation, and we had a couple of thousand results from that, responses, and what it actually showed was the number one was that Australians think that teenage parents are on long-term welfare, and number two, it was that they don't think that teenage parents will be able to finish their education, and that was coupled with the word stigma, and so that there's stigma there. So I think it's one of those, when you're looking at those two elements, if you are seeing someone in society and your thought is you're costing me taxpayers money, and that's the perception from Australia, that perhaps that's where it comes from. And then if the second is, well, it's costing that money plus you don't have the same opportunities as other Australian children going through their education, and then there's that stigma, it creates this separation. And so that's why Brave uses the word, and we hear it a lot, especially in the not-for-profit space, but to bring that village of support and acceptance around an expecting and parenting teen. Because, and on this flip side of it, the expecting and parenting teens we work with, and that actually there's one young mum, and she was 15 when I met her, Osha, in a really, you know, tough situation, and she's in her second year of law. She's actually a member of our steering committee. She's a gun, and she's been able to use all of those things because she's had that support and been able to have access to a pathway to do the things that she's wanted to do as well as be a great mum, that she's actually doing fine and her kids are going to have a drastically different life to the one that she even had. And so I think it is that. I think it really is, as you say, being able to smile.
Yeah.
At an expecting and parenting teen first, taking your responsibility for your role, however small or big it might be. It could be that it's your niece one day.
Yeah.
It may not. It might be a girl that you just glance on the street. But we all have that responsibility, I believe, as Australian citizens, to bring what level of support we can around someone that's they're not actually a vulnerable person. They're experiencing a heightened level of vulnerability at this moment. And that's our role.
It's interesting that the initial reaction is such a selfish reaction. It's not, oh my gosh, are you all right? It's not, can I help you? It's, how dare you cost me?
Yeah.
I've seen the shows that run after the news at 6:30 at night.
Yeah, that's right.
I've seen, you know, the woman who's older than you that just keeps the kids coming so she gets the payments. No, I've been taught that that's a horrible thing.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Yeah. It's pretty deep, but that's where it comes from, isn't it? It's just that entrenched.
But we don't, you know, we tend to not see that. You know, we see that's a physical manifestation of taxpayer dollars being wasted.
Yeah.
But we don't see the digging up the street around the corner. We don't see, oh, you blew $800 million on an NBN that no one can use.
That's so true.
Fuck off.
And what we also don't see is that these women have never been given a pathway before.
No.
What are they meant to do? How do they? They try and get on a bus, or they go to a school and they don't have a policy on how to look after an expecting or parenting student, and so then the principal won't have them stay. This shouldn't happen, but it does happen. And so when, and that's what Brave's so thrilled with, having created the pathway plan, because there will be that opportunity for any Australian teenager that can continue and be totally fine. But I think it's the same with any other group of individuals experiencing heightened vulnerability, that you actually can look, instead of us looking at how do they find the services, I really think in Australia we can look at how we can actually bring those services to them.
Gosh.
And we can actually do it in a pretty easy way digitally now, I think, in this time in Australia.
Yeah, I can only imagine, like, to know, like, that on the same day that that awful doctor treated you and Dave that way, that you could have, you know, now, then you couldn't have done it, but now you can pick up a website, make a phone call and go, okay, here are the next five things to do.
Yeah, that's right. Those steps, just you can connect those so easily.
And that is just a small amount of my much longer conversation with Bernie Black. If you have been a teenage parent, if your parent was a teenager when you were born, if you are expecting, the Brave Foundation do amazing work. Bernie Black is an extraordinary human, and you can find out more, bravefoundation.org.au. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. Thanks to Andy Maher, who did post on this, Rachel Barrett, my executive producer, Bruce Dill, who helps us with producing, Toe Hider on the music, and you for listening. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Come and see us live. We're doing live gigs in Sydney and doing live gigs in Newcastle. So make a note. You'll find the notes in the show notes. You'll find the link to the tickets in the show notes. Thanks for being a part of the show. I'll see you Friday.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.